Hi, it's Bob from Royal Spa. Soaking in a hot tub full of Epsom salts is the absolute best way to minimize everyday aches and pains. And we know all about Epsom salts at Royal Spa. Royal Spa hot tubs are the only hot tubs on the market that can safely and effectively use Epsom salts. Made right here in Indiana, Royal Spa hot tubs are the highest quality hot tubs on the market. Visit any one of our three Indianapolis locations or visit royalspa.com.
Ah, Royal Spa.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. One more hour. We've got some racing to talk about. Adam Alexander from Fox Sports 1 will join us coming up after the Top of the Hour scoreboard update. Plus, we'll talk a little more baseball, a little South Bend Cubs baseball. Right now, though, we turn it over to the star of our show. It's Network Indiana's Brad Huber.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Coach, good to be with you and Isaiah Elijah here this evening. A very busy Friday night across the state. The top story, the race for the playoffs for the NBA. The Indiana Pacers fell to the Cleveland Cavaliers 129-120. Tyrese Halliburton led the Pacers with 19 points and 12 assists. Jarrett Allen, 29 points, 13 boards for the Cavaliers. Other games of interest, Philadelphia 76ers beat the Orlando Magic 125-113. And Miami Heat beat the Toronto Raptors 125-103. So what does that mean going into the final day of the season? And my loosey-goosey math here has it where the Pacers and an Orlando loss would give the Pacers a 5 seed in the NBA playoffs. A win or a Philadelphia loss would give the Pacers a 6 seed. A loss and a Philadelphia win would give Indiana the 7 seed. 8 seed, a loss, Philadelphia and Miami wins and Orlando loses. That's the scenario heading into the final game of the season Sunday at Gainbridge Fieldhouse at 1 o'clock against the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks have locked into the 10 seed. They'll go to Chicago for the first play-in game next week. So Atlanta may be resting some players next week. ECHL hockey has tied up between the Indy Field and the Fort Wayne Comets, now in overtime at 3 apiece. Fort Wayne scored 2 in the third period to tie that up. That's the last meeting of these two teams this year. The Indy Field are headed to the playoffs next week. Just heard from Howard Kelman, and the Toledo Mud Hens beat the Indianapolis Indians 4-3 in 11 innings on the Weir Fielder's Choice that ended that ball game. The South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader with the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers 1-0 for Wisconsin in Game 1 with a one home run in the second inning. South Bend Cubs scored 2 in the sixth to get the win 2-1. Lake County Captains beat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 7-6. A tradition unlike any other, the Masters at the halfway point, a three-way share of the lead with Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, and Scottie Scheffler at 6 under par. Nikolai Hogard is 2 back at 4 under par. Purdue grad Adam Schenck is 6 back at even par. He will go off at 135 tomorrow. And Tiger Woods made the cut at 1 over par, 7 back. He is now the all-time consecutive Masters cut leader at 24, surpassing Freddie Couples and Gary Player. College baseball, Evansville Purple Aces, no issues with Illinois State, 9-1. Penn State, same thing over Indiana, 15-4. 18th ranked Sycamores of Indiana State, all over Bradley today, 14-2. That ended in 8 innings. 13th ranked North Carolina Tar Heels, a blank Notre Dame today, 13-0. The Purdue Boilermakers got the win over Michigan State, 7-2. Southeast Missouri State beat Southern Indiana, 1-0. Belmont over Valpo, 9-2. Division 2, the Greyhounds of UIndy got a walk-off double in the 10th inning, scoring 3, giving UIndy the 6-5 win over Quincy. Grand Valley State shut out Purdue Northwest 3-0 today. Hanover was all over Manchester 18-3. Hanover scored 7 runs in the second inning, and they were off and running. Taylor Trojans and Indiana Wesleyan split a doubleheader today. Indiana Wesleyan winning Game 1 6-4. Taylor winning game two, 4-3. A couple of Major League Baseball games ongoing. The St. Louis Cardinals lead the Arizona Diamondbacks 6-3. That's in the bottom of the fifth. The Mariners lead the Cubs 4-0 in the top of the fifth. Detroit beat Minnesota 8-2. The Pirates over the Philadelphia Phillies 5-2. Milwaukee Brewers all over the Baltimore Orioles 11-1. And the Cincinnati Reds, no issues with the Chicago White Sox. White Sox really struggling to start the season. That was 11-1 as well. So we'll have more updates throughout the evening. Stay tuned. This is Brad Huber for Network Indiana Sports.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Thrilled to death that Adam Alexander from Fox Sports 1, host of NASCAR Race Hub, has joined us. I've missed you. I want you to know this. And for the 30th year we've been on the air, the one constant at that in the entire 30 years has been you. And I can't thank you enough. You know that. And it's great to talk to you.
I got to tell you, 30 years, that's an absurd number, Bob. That's just crazy.
Well, thanks for saying that. I appreciate that.
I mean that in the most complimentary way possible.
I know.
You mentioned Race Hub, and we will be 15 years of NASCAR Race Hub in October.
Yeah.
And we started this year. It was our 2,500 episodes to begin the year. And,
yikes.
And that's unbelievable, right? Just a crazy milestone.
Sure.
And I always said, like, we did some interviews and some media around that. And I said, this is a testament to the fans because of their dedication to tuning in. And that's true, whether you're talking about what we do at Race Hub or Indiana Sports Talk. And, you know, people don't understand the pride and the passion of sports fans in Indiana. And it's just so cool.
Well, you do. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this has been going on that long. I mean, it's so awesome to have grown up and experienced that like we did and been in the middle of it and to know what it means to so many people and to validate that by the show that you host every week being an outlet for everyone to get their information. It's such a cool thing.
Well, you're kind. You really are. And I remember vividly when you were doing – you were the play-by-play guy, the voice of the University of Evansville Aces, and call and say, hey, can I be on the show and talk about the Aces? And, you know, at that time, we need content. So, yeah, you were a godsend. And the cool thing to me is – and we're friends, been friends a long time, but with your career, and I've marveled at what you've been able to do, you have still called me on Friday and Saturday nights, even after leaving Evansville and getting into the motorsports racing. And you know, a lot of guys in our business don't do that. And I will forever be grateful that you continue to talk to us.
Well, I just tell you, I'm really proud of where I, you know, come from. And I just believe so. I mean, I'm one of the sports fans that I just talked about. I mean, I don't talk about other people. I talk about it because I know how they feel because I'm one of them. And you know, now with social media and all of that, you know, getting scores and getting updates is something that we do, you know, in a little bit of a different fashion. But I can remember so many times calling in and being like, I want to manipulate my time to call in, or I'm going to call in a little early before my window so
right.
I can get to scoreboard
right.
update because I lived in
right.
North Carolina and, you know, there was no other way to get it, you know. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
A little self-serving, I guess, Bob, is what I'm saying.
That's all right. Hey, I ran into Michael Adams at the Boys State Finals. It's great to catch up with him. He said things are going well for you. I live vicariously through your life. Sometimes I'll catch up with him. So it was good to catch up with him, and things are going well for you. How many – you said 25 years for Race Up?
It was 15, 2,500
15.
Episodes. So,
15. Yeah, so yeah. What was the forerunner of Race Up? What did you call that show you were on?
So I did a show called Speed Center, and
that was it. Yeah, that's the one.
In 2011,
yeah.
and you know,
yeah.
that was back in the Speed Channel days. And then when Speed Channel became FS1, that show didn't make the cut. But you know, they decided in 2009 in the fall of 2009, they wanted to do a daily NASCAR show. And so I did that, you know, off and on in 9 and 10. Then in 11, I transitioned full-time to Speed Center. And then when we went to FS1 in 2013, Speed Center did not make the cut, but
right.
Race Hub did. And then eventually I transitioned back to Race Hub, and I've really been a part of that now for, you know, I was there at the beginning, took some time away because I was doing the Speed Center show, and then I've been a part of Race Hub now for, you know, since 2013 full time. So it's remarkable what that show's done.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I was flipping through channels. I caught you a couple times last week. You look good, number one. And secondly, I do get smarter, like everybody else, when I watch that show. I mean, that's the beauty of that is you want to figure out and impress people that you think you know what you're talking about with NASCAR. Easiest way to do it is watch you guys on Race Hub. It's simple.
Yeah, you know what's made that show great in recent years, and it's something, and probably the reason that it's still on today, is that we have been fortunate to have so many willing participants that compete in the sport
yeah.
every week, whether it's crew chiefs,
yeah.
drivers, owners, you know, competition directors, whatever, that will come on and make appearances as our analysts. And we've got analysts that have retired, crew chief drivers, but we've got other guys that come in, and that's true knowledge,
right.
which has made that show great.
Hey, hang on through this short break or through this scoreboard update. Okay, we'll come back and talk about Texas Motor Speedway. Is that all right?
You got it. Yep.
Perfect. Adam Alexander and I'll come back after this scoreboard update with Brad Huber on Indiana Sports Talk.
The battle for I-69 just concludes, and Indy Field get the win over the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 3-3, or Fort Wayne Comets, I should say, 3-3 in ECHL hockey. It was 3-3 after overtime. And Andrew Bellant for the Indy Field gets a goal in the sixth round of the shootout, and the Field win 2-1. NASCAR, we haven't talked about much tonight, but Kyle Busch winning tonight in the SpeedyCash.com 250 for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Corey Heim was second, Nicholas Sanchez third. Christian Eckes and Zane Smith round out the top five. The Xfinity Series will race tomorrow. The Andy's Frozen Custard 300 at the Texas Motor Speedway. And Jesse Love is on the pole today. Cole Custer will start on the outside of the front row. Taylor Gray, Chandler Smith, and Riley Herbst round out the top five. The NASCAR Cup Series will qualify and practice tomorrow and race on Sunday there in Texas. To the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers got the best of the Indiana Pacers 129-120 up in Cleveland in the second to last game of the season. The Pacers need to win or have a Philadelphia loss to make their first playoffs since 2020, or else there are some scenarios that could get them in to the play-in tournament instead of just going straight to the playoffs. Baseball, the Toledo Mudhens beat the Indianapolis Indians 4-3 in 11 innings on a walk-off fielder's choice. Wisconsin Timber Rattlers and the South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader today. Wisconsin 1-0 game 1, South Bend 2-1 game 2. Lake County Captains beat Fort Wayne Tin Caps 7-6. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. Adam Alexander, Fox Sports 1. NASCAR Race Hub host rejoins us. Texas Motor Speedway, I know you love that track. A lot of things going on. So we had truck race tonight, right? We got the Cup guys on Sunday.
That's right. It's a busy weekend here. First time that we've been here in a couple of years in the springtime. There was a two-year period there where the All-Star Race was here at Texas, and trucks and Xfinity were here as well. And then, you know, for many years, we would come here and race about this time of year with all three series, or for sure Cup and Xfinity. But this weekend, all three series are here. Trucks race tonight. We heard in the scoreboard update, Kyle Busch gets the win, second win of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's always good, tremendous, really, in any race, but in particular, when it comes to the Craftsman Truck Series, he's the all-time wins leader. Xfinity practice qualifying today. It was mentioned there as well that Jesse Love won a pole for the third time in his career. He's only eight races in to his young career. He's been very, very impressive as a first-year driver at Richard Childress Racing and knocking on the door of the first win for sure. And then tomorrow we've got Cup practice and qualifying before they race for the ninth time this season on Sunday.
buzz here in Indianapolis is Kyle Larson in IndyCar and how exciting he is. They had some testing earlier this week, a little rain, but you talk to people, all you hear right now is Kyle Larson.
It's really cool that he's doing the double, and it's been a little bit since someone tried that, but the anticipation is so high because I just feel like that there's never been anyone, you know, quite like Kyle, probably since Tony Stewart, to be able to try and pull this off. There have been talented drivers that have done it, but Kyle is someone that I think people are just anxiously awaiting because of his diverse background and the characteristics that he brings to the table. You know, Kurt Busch did it. A.J. Allmendinger did it, and they both did it, you know, quite successfully. But neither one of them had the discipline on each side that you felt like, you know, you felt like they were giving up one place to maybe get another. Where Kyle is someone that you feel like can play it on both sides, and it really does remind me of what Tony Stewart brought because of how successful he was in IndyCar and then what he was able to do in NASCAR. And I realize Kyle doesn't have that IndyCar experience, but when you look at his talent and his days in open wheel and just how good he's been at everything he has raced, I know there's a lot of people in NASCAR circles that really have got tremendous anticipation in Memorial Day weekend and watching him race the 500 in Indy before coming to Charlotte to do the 600.
So what is it about a Kyle Larson and a Tony Stewart that separates them from others? I mean, there are a lot of talented drivers, but you're talking about guys that just seem to be able to win wherever, whatever.
And I would say a lot of that, Bob, is the foundation of their career because they both started racing on dirt. And there's so many characteristics that you learn that opened the door to success of the places, and that throttle control and being able to understand how to balance your race car over the course of a run because you don't have the benefit of pit stops and making changes and all of that.
Right.
And so
right. You
just learn so much about car control when you're racing in that format and the ability to adapt. And then that just translates. And we saw, you know, Tony just was so good at so many different types of places, both in IndyCar and then in NASCAR where he won three championships. And we've seen it from Larson as well. And so it's going to be really cool when we get to the month of May and in particular Memorial Day weekend to watch him do that.
All right. So the quals are tomorrow for the Cup. Who do we like? What's, you know, we're kind of, you know, early on in the season. So what has impressed you about where you are in the Cup Series to this point?
I would say that while it is early, we've been to virtually every type of racetrack. We've been to short tracks,
to
road courses, we've been to super speedways, we've been to the intermediate at Las Vegas, and we'll get more of that this weekend here at Texas. And, you know, the one common thread has been the strength of both Joe Gibbs Racing and Hendrick Motorsports. And those two teams really have dominated outside of the photo finish at Atlanta, where Daniel Suarez won. Those organizations have been dominant week in, week out. And they've passed the baton a little bit. It hasn't always been both at the front exclusively each week. Some weeks the Toyotas have been stronger. Other weeks it's been the Chevys from HMS. But across the board, it's hard to argue with the results that they have put together top to bottom for each of those organizations. And I got to tell you, when you look at recent history on these types of racetracks, they've been good there as well. So I would say they are the teams to beat this weekend until someone knocks them off.
So are you calling the Xfinity race?
We'll have Xfinity tomorrow. I'll be in the booth with Joey Logano and Ross Chastain, and that'll be a really nice setup, I believe, to what we'll see here on Sunday with the Cup cars getting on track. This is a tough place.
Right.
Even though it's a mile and a half, turns one and two really are not a lot like what you see in three and four. And so finding the balance is difficult. It's really slick off of turn two. Restarts here are crazy, so this is an entertaining venue. It's challenging for the drivers, which I think makes it a real win for us at home watching. And I'm fired up to watch this one unfold, both tomorrow what we'll see on the Xfinity side and then in the on Sunday, just because that's the best of the bunch facing a place that's very difficult.
Well, it's great to talk to you. I've missed you. You know that. I hope family's doing well. Everything's good in Charlotte. Everything going well. And, 30 years. Now, you can appreciate this. I told the network people, at the end of last year, over the summer, I said, look, this is going to be our 30th year, and I think that's a good time for me to stop. And they were, you know, surprised and disappointed and all that. And my wife thought it was a great – my wife's been after me for a while to not do this. And I just kept saying, well, you know what, you know, there's a certain symmetry to it, if you will. You know, I wasn't a big milestone guy, still not. So I said, okay, I'll wrap it up. And I had told people, I think I even told you I was going to wrap it up at 30. And then as I'm, you know, I get into it and football, you get through football, and I start to think, and my grandson asked me, he says, now, why exactly are you going to stop doing the radio show? And I said, you know, I don't know. He goes, do you still like it? I go, yeah. He said, do you still think you're doing it like you need to do it? I said, yeah, I still think, I don't think I'm as good as I was 30 years ago, but then who is, for heaven's sakes? I said, I'm still okay, right? I can get by. He said, well, why would you want to stop? And then it was, you know, I should pay attention to my grandson more than I do myself, quite frankly. So I called the network, and you can appreciate this call. I said, look, I've decided to unretire. I said, I'm an English major, and I don't think that's a word that is used very often, but I'm unretiring if that's going to be okay with you. And they go, well, yeah, no problem. So, you know, we just push ahead. We're gonna continue to do it and try to have as much fun, thanks to guys like you, and see what happens.
Well, I can tell you I'm happy for you, and I congratulate you, and I salute you, and I will say that unless you've done it, you don't know what goes into it and how taxing it can be. And it's great that you've been doing it this long, and I wish you many more. It's really cool to see what you're doing, Bob, and it's so awesome for all the sports fans in Indiana to get to tune in.
Well, you're very kind. You know that. I appreciate it. Adam, I'll be watching you tomorrow. This rain here in Indiana drives me crazy, but unless I may just skip mowing my grass and watch you on the Xfinity race. Thanks for doing this.
All right.
We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
All right, that sounds great. I appreciate it, Bob.
Thanks. You're welcome. Thank you. Adam Alexander from Fox Sports 1, FS1. He'll be on the call of the Xfinity race for NASCAR down at the Texas Motor Speedway. And you can catch him on NASCAR Race Hub. Great show. Adam has been a part of this show all 30 years he's been on it. And he was a young kid just out of college doing Evansville Aces basketball back when we started. And he's listen, he's as good as it gets. All right. Coming up, continue to talk more racing. This is like Race Central. Tony Donahue is going to join us after the scoreboard update. This is Indiana Sports Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Let's talk some college baseball across the state of Indiana. There were several rainouts and postponements, but the games that were played today, Division III, the Taylor Trojans and the Indiana Wesleyan split a doubleheader. Indiana Wesleyan, who is receiving votes in the Division III pool, won 6-4, Taylor winning 4-3 in Game 2. Division II, Grand Valley State shut out Purdue Northwest 3-0. And UIndy, the Greyhounds got a walk-off double in the 10th inning by Dakota Sill, giving the Greyhounds a 6-5 win over Quincy. Division 1 today, the Evansville Purple Aces beat the Illinois State 9-1. Penn State Nittany Lions over IU today 15-4. How about the Sycamores of Indiana State, ranked 18th in the country, all over the Bradley Braves today 14-2. That ended in 8 innings. 13th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels all over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, 13-0 in a big shutout today. Up in West Lafayette, the Purdue Boilermakers got the win over Michigan State, 7-2. Southeast Missouri State blanked Southern Indiana, 1-0. And Belmont, winners over Valpo, 9-2. Minor League Baseball today, 11 innings it took for Toledo to beat the Indianapolis Indians 4-3 on a walk-off fielder's choice. Wisconsin Timber Rattlers and South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader today. Wisconsin winning 1-0 in Game 1, South Bend 2-1 in Game 2 when the Cubs scored 2 in the 6th, and the Lake County Captains beat the Fort Wayne Tin Caps 7-6. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Kip Westner from the often imitated, never duplicated Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Top 60 workout. How'd it go, Kip? Thanks for calling me. How'd it go last week?
Well, it was great. Marion University was the host, and it's just an excellent facility. You know, what was it, 3 or 4 years ago, they remodeled everything,
right?
And they had to go to a high school gym. And we're so thrilled to get back there. The last 3 years we've been at Marion, and the bigger, longer court, I think, is better for those, you know, high-powered athletes. And we had our scrimmage time and our drill work, and a good number of coaches were there. And, of course, Mike Broughton and the coaching staff from the Indiana-Kentucky series were there, and it was a good crowd, so couldn't have been a better day.
Good.
And you know what the key is to that, because once that ends, you know, now we turn our attention to the next Hoosier Basketball Magazine, which will be 24-25, and it'll be the 55th annual issue of Hoosier Basketball Magazine, which is even hard to imagine, but just keep grinding along, right?
Yeah, you know what's hard to imagine is that coincides with the number of years my beautiful wife Penny and I have been married. So we'll be celebrating our 55th wedding anniversary on July 3rd. And, you know, go ahead and start to figure out what you're going to buy for us for our wedding anniversary.
Well, I think that
I'm encouraging
to figure out how the front cover is going to be, because I was thinking if Purdue had cut down the national championship, I'd have to do something with Matt Painter and the Indiana kids, and I still may you know, recognize them on the cover.
I think you should.
Runner up is good, but boy, the halftime, you know, I was out at the game halftime. They down 6. I really felt like watching that first half, the first 17 to maybe even 18 minutes, not that they played perfect, but they played about as good as they could play. And it was great. And then the last 2.5-3 minutes, they got down 6. And then when I saw the stats, like, okay, they got out-rebounded by 1. They were down turnovers 5-3. They're not going to have a half like that in the second half. So Purdue's in good shape. And then they got out-rebounded by 5, and Connecticut continued to make shots. And if Connecticut was going to make shots, Purdue wasn't going to come back. So, it was good to finish second, because the better team won, and you know, they had a great season. I'm just glad to be there. I had Kyle Niedenrip was 2 seats from my left, and Mike Carmen was right next to me.
Right.
So I felt like I had the Indiana connection, right?
It's like a who's who.
What they call the State Farm Arena in Glendale, Arizona.
Right,
so
right.
The experience of being there for the national championship game was really good, and obviously there were a lot of Purdue fans, and there's always next year, so just strap them up and see what they can do in the future.
All right, All-Stars, boys All-Stars announced. What were your general thoughts of that?
Well, the class is top-heavy with Lori Badunga and Wyndham and Benner, but once you get to 8, 9, 10, 15, 20, you know, it's really difficult to separate a lot of those kids, and especially in regards to height, because, like, I heard you on an interview, I read Kyle Niedenrip's article, you're trying to win games,
absolutely,
put names in the paper. So when you've got to have, you know, frontliners or forwards, like Gary used to call the center forward a frontliner, forwards and inside players, I think there are 6 players on the team that are 6'6 or taller. The problem is 2 of them are Jack Benner and Miller from Scottsburg, and they're both like wing players. So you had to have some height. And I think the teams, I mean, it's just good. I'm happy for the people who make it because the thing I've always said is I'm glad I'm not in charge of it. Doing the top 60 is difficult enough. There are so many deserving players, and there's so many good players every year. There's the snub list or whatever you want to call it, and there's always going to be people who are deserving to wear that jersey, but there's only 13 of them. So, I mean, I like the team because the team's named and they represent Indiana. So I think it's think it's great.
All right, Kip, I'm glad you called. I'm glad things went well for the top 60. Why don't you relax? I know you can't, but you got to do that in magazine. But thank you so much for taking time to be with me tonight.
Enjoy the rest of your evening, Bob.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Brendan King, South Bend Cubs. I'm sorry, Tony Donahue, my man. Tony D, what is up, my racing nerd? Tell me about the rain-soaked Indianapolis Motor Speedway practice sessions.
Yeah, it was exciting. I think the big news-worthy item going into it was what Kyle Larson was going to do, and he quickly got up to speed with the second fastest time at about 226. And then the rains came, and we learned that there was a controversial finish last year in which they threw three red flags in the final 10 laps and kind of threw the green and white at the same time. And a lot of drivers didn't like that. And I learned on Tuesday that they plan to do everything in their power, IndyCar does, to ensure a green flag finish for this year's Indianapolis 500. So it's kind of like a hurry up and wait, right? Like everybody counts down the days to the test, meaning you're going to be closer to the month of May. And then, of course, you know, the two worst weather days of the week are the 2 days that it was planned, was out there on Monday for the solar eclipse. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, lots of speeds. Joseph Newgarden back on top as he left for the month of May last year. He had the fastest time at 2:28. Most of the rookies got their rookies and refreshers in. Looks like we'll get to 35 entries for next month's Indianapolis 500, which means we'll have two drivers bumped out of the field that won't make it, and they'll go to Long Beach in Alabama before heading to Indianapolis for the Grand Prix for the Indianapolis 500 pole weekend, and then obviously the 108th Indy 500. So wanted to get more track time, that's for sure. Had a good opportunity to talk to some of the drivers, and May will be here before you know it. We all know that.
Kyle Larson is quite the story. I talked to Adam Alexander earlier tonight, and he talks about him as being in that Tony Stewart category of racer who can race just about anything. But you mentioned it; he got up to speed quickly, which I think is a harbinger of how it's going to be for him.
Yeah, he's in a good car. He's with McLaren. He's got Tony Kanaan on his pit stand, kind of helping him through things. And he's going to adapt and he's going to adjust. He's one of the best race car drivers, not only in the United States, but I would say the world. He wins in everything that he straps into. And there's nothing that makes me not believe that he won't be a contender on race day. Now, there's a lot that goes into it. One, he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to learn a lot of things. Oh, by the way, you're balancing an all-star race the weekend of qualifying in Charlotte. And then, the million-dollar purse that the Coca-Cola 600 enabled. So only one driver's been able to finish all 1,100 miles. But he certainly cut from the Tony Stewarts, the AJ Foyts of the world, just a guy, Mario Andretti, that you strap him in any car. Doesn't matter if it's a sprint car, a NASCAR Cup Series car, or an Indy car. He's going to be somebody that you're going to have to beat to win the race. He's going to be somebody that's going to be in contention. And being in a McLaren car that was fast last year, they had four cars up front last year. They had three cars up front the year before. He's certainly going to be somebody to keep your eye on throughout the month of May to see how he adapts, see how he adjusts. And then, what'll work out for him, what I talked about is, qualifying, okay, just make sure you're qualified in the top 15 and you got yourself a good chance. Then in the race, if it goes the way it's gone the last couple of years, it really seems to settle in for that first, 200 to 250 miles, and everybody's kind of, just getting their car right. And if he can make the right adjustments, which I think he'll be able to do, and just get yourself to last 100 miles, I think he'll be all right. And hopefully the logistics line up and he can cement his name in the history books of running 1,100 miles on Memorial Day weekend.
Tony Donahue, Indiana Sports Talk, owes a big debt of gratitude to Tony Donahue for his great years of service to the program. Tony, it's always great to talk to you. I appreciate it very much. We'll do this a lot through the month of May. Thanks for taking time.
Bob, thank you. And tell the family hello, and we'll talk here over the next couple of weeks.
I'll do it. I'll look forward to it. Thanks, Tony. Coming up, much more. A lot of racing tonight, and I appreciate that. Hey, tomorrow night, we're going to talk soccer with Greg Rakestraw, Rob Blackman from Little Jonas will talk about Purdue. Lynn Clark from Irish 101 will join us. We'll talk some Notre Dame football. We'll talk also about the Pacers, getting down to the end of it. Brendan King and I will talk South Bend Cubs baseball after the scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
In this final update, let's look ahead to tomorrow's schedule. A busy day of baseball across the state. The Wisconsin Timber Rattlers will be at the South Bend Cubs for a 4:05 first pitch. The Fort Wayne Tin Caps will host the Lake County Captains at 1:05. That will be game one of a doubleheader. Game two will follow after that. They will be seven-inning games. The Indy Indians at the Toledo Mud Hens, they'll begin a doubleheader at 2:35. Tomorrow, trying to bounce back from an 11-inning loss here today. The Indy Field will host the Kalamazoo Wings at Indiana Farmers Coliseum at 7 o'clock tomorrow to end the regular season. They'll head to the playoffs next week. The Fort Wayne Comets will go to the Toledo Walleye for a 7:15 drop of the first puck there. Indy 11 will have kickoff against the Charleston Battery at the Mike's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Greg Rakestraw will have the call. Major League Baseball, the Cincinnati Reds will be at the Chicago White Sox at 2:10. Pittsburgh Pirates at Philadelphia Phillies. And the Milwaukee Brewers at Baltimore Orioles at 4:05. St. Louis Cardinals will be the Arizona Diamondbacks at 8:10. And the Chicago Cubs with the Seattle Mariners at 9:40. Third round of the Masters coming up. Leaders will go off at 2:45 tomorrow. Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, Scotty Scheffler share the lead at 6 under par. Purdue graduate Adam Schenck is 6 shots back, even par for the tournament. He'll tee off at 1:35. Tiger Woods made the cut for the 24th consecutive time at the Masters, breaking a record over Freddie Couples and Gary Player. He will go off at 12:45. The final round of the Masters will be on Sunday to see who will win the green jacket. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Brad Huber.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brendan King joins me, the voice of the South Bend Cubs. Tell me you have something good to talk to me about.
I have something good to talk to you about, Coach. At the back end of the night, doubleheader between the Cubs and the Rattlers today. And this
right.
is kind of what you hope for in doubleheaders. I think it's sometimes, you know, hoping too far if you can sweep it. It's not easy, but Cubs and the Rattlers split a twin bill. And to me, Coach, I don't know about you, I always prefer if you're going to split, you win the back end of it because you can take some momentum into the next day, and that's exactly what happened. Rattlers won game one, 1-0. Not a great night to hit in South Bend. Wind was blowing in, super windy, but the Cubs found a way in game two. 2-1 was the final, and you take some momentum into a 4:05 start tomorrow night.
Yeah, I would think, weather down here is miserable, right? I mean, it's cold right. and rainy and stuff, and that has to that's a miserable night at the ball yard, for heaven's sakes. And so that's even miserable for guys in the booth.
Yeah, thankfully no rain, so really it was just the wind and a little cold. The sun was out to begin the doubleheader, Coach, which really helped out a lot. But yeah,
so what's the sun look out, like? I haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't seen it for so long. What's the sun actually look like?
It was a welcome addition, that's for sure. And, you know, we got some beauty shots. We were on the Marquee Network tonight, the Cubs television network in Chicago.
Right.
Parents got to watch, grandparents got to watch, which is always special. And much needed win for the Cubbies because Tuesday and Wednesday they dropped both of those games. So getting back on track tonight, and big swing by a guy I've talked to you a lot about already, Jefferson Rojas. He is the Cubs' top 30 prospect out of the Dominican. He's still just 18 years old.
Wow.
He had the game-winning hit in the sixth inning. It was a two-run homer. Still managed to get it out, even with the win. Kid has a lot of power, and that was the game-deciding knock.
I'm thinking if he gets one out of the yard on a night like tonight, that would be power. He's got a little bit of power in that swing. Good gracious.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, Coach, I kind of equate it to this. This is what we talked about on the Marquee Network. You know, listen, you're a fan of NL Central baseball, Coach. If there's one thing about Wrigley Field, it's that when the wind's blowing in at Wrigley, there's no excuse. You are still paid to hit the ball out of the ballpark if you're a power hitter. So it's a great practice when the wind's blowing in South Bend. It's great practice for when he's going to be at Wrigley someday, because he's going to be expected to perform even when it's not a good hitting day at Wrigley Field.
All right. So what about tomorrow? What's going on tomorrow? Who's on the hill?
Game 5 of the series tomorrow night, Coach. 4:05 start, a little earlier in the evening. Luis Devers will be on the mound. He was the 2022 Chicago Cubs Minor League Pitcher of the Year, organizational-wide. Struggled with injuries last year, but now he's back with us. Injury-free, 100%. He won the 2022 Midwest League Championship, and he pitched in the game to clinch the title. So the guy, he's a big man, 6'4" out of the Dominican. Great changeup, and he'll be relied upon. First start of 2024 tomorrow, and it'll be good to see him injury-free because, again, he was arguably the best pitcher in the minor league organization in 22, was out pretty much all last year, and it'll be good to see him back.
You got time to hang in and do one more short segment with us?
Sure thing, Coach.
You are the man. Brendan King, South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader with the Rattlers. I love these names now. Love these names. All right, Brendan, hang in there. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Coming up, our final break, some final thoughts, more with Brendan King. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night. Saturday night edition of Indiana Sports Talk. Tomorrow we're talking about some soccer, some Purdue football and basketball, Notre Dame football, and more. Stay with us. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Brendan King rejoins us here on Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. All right, Brendan King. South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader. So what are your impressions of this group this early on in the season?
Well, if anything, Coach, like I said a couple weeks ago, we're super young, which usually takes a little bit to get cooking, mostly because of the weather. I talked to you about Jefferson Rojas, who is our 18-year-old shortstop. Over at third is Pedro Ramirez. He's 20. And then Ravage Garcia is our second baseman. He's 21. So for much of these guys, Ramirez being from the Dominican Republic, Rojas too, Garcia's from Mexico, it's their first time ever playing in the cold. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a huge adjustment for these guys. They've never played in this type of climate, and it takes time. So I think over the next couple weeks, you're going to see these guys get more comfortable, not only in their at-bats, in the field, making less errors. And then, you know, by the back end of May is probably when things are about to get in the full swing. So it's a young group, probably the youngest group I've had in my entirety in South Bend. So that's fun, fresh group of faces, and it's a bunch of kids that love to play the game, which is cool to see.
All right. Call me tomorrow night. We'll yak it up again tomorrow. How's that sound?
You got it, Coach. Looking forward to it.
All right, Brendan King, South Bend Cubs split a doubleheader. We're talking about him tomorrow. Brendan, have a great night. Thanks for doing this.
You too, Coach. See ya.
Thanks so much. What a great night. What a tremendous night. Brad Huber, great night. Thanks to you. Fantastic job on the scoreboard updates and your commentary on racing. When are you working at Paragon again?
We'll be there next Saturday for our normal show, since tomorrow got rained out with the Ultimate Heart of America late model. So we'll be back there next Saturday with our first normal show of the 2024 season.
Nothing's normal about you, brother. Come on now. Come on. You know better than that. That's all right. All right. Well, then, have fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Coach.
And say hi to Holly. Make sure she's okay, all right?
I will do that. It's good working with you. I'll work with you again in 2 weeks.
I'll look forward to it, Brad. Thanks a lot. Brad Huber, always fun to have him on the school board updates, anchoring that. Don't forget, again, join us tomorrow night as we kind of expand what we're doing. We'll talk a little soccer with Greg Rakestraw, and then a little college football, spring football going on. We haven't spent much time talking about it, so we're going to talk about it tomorrow night. And we'll squeeze in some racing because, you know, we love racing on Indiana Sports Talk. And we are heading toward the hiatus that we normally take, that I take during June and July. So we have much more to come. Mike, thanks again to Brad Huber and to Elijah Robertson for a great job as always. Thanks to our tremendous stations that bring you the show every Friday and Saturday night. And for 30 years, you've made us the most listened to sports talk show in the state's history. It is the history-making, legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.